pleasure now to introduce Philippe Müller. As I mentioned, two days ago we learned that Martin Bachmann was unable to attend the meeting. So Philippe Müller agreed to replace this speaker, and we are really glad because Philippe Müller knows very well this topic also. Philippe Müller is a doctor, a physician, deeply involved in the clinical pharmacology for many years, especially in assessing nicotine patch more than 20 years ago. And he's also involved in assessing the vaccine against nicotine. He's going to speak on this topic right now. Philippe, thanks.
Thank you, Jacques, for the introduction, and I'm glad to be here and able to present you this exciting new way towards smoking cessation. I think we can skip this diagram, which has been nicely introduced by Nancy already, and the effects involved in nicotine actions on the brain, and go directly to the rationale for a vaccine against nicotine. The idea is actually here not to interfere with nicotine at the level of the receptor, but to prevent nicotine from entering the brain, to make it, I would say, large enough that it cannot enter the blood-brain barrier. And this is possible by catching nicotine with specific antibodies. So the idea is to induce antibodies against nicotine, which capture the nicotine in the bloodstream and prevent it from entering to the central nervous system. So what we expect would be that the rate and the amount of nicotine entering the brain is reduced, and by this that we can interrupt the reinforcing effect of nicotine and possibly prevent relapse in case of single lapses after a successful quit attempt. How can we now make nicotine, which is a small molecule, which by itself is not immunogenic, so it is not recognized by the immune system, how can we make it immunogenic and available to the immune system to induce antibodies against it? What we do is actually we give nicotine, which is shown here as a molecule, we give it the shape of a virus. So we take something which is called virus-like particles. These are empty protein shells, recombinantly produced. They are just built according to the plan of a viral shell, but completely in a recombinant way. They are expressed in coli bacteria. So we pack nicotine on the surface of these virus-like particles. So nicotine actually comes to the immune system in the form of a virus. And in this form, nicotine is recognized by the immune system, and the immune system is inducing IgG antibodies against nicotine. Now this principle work has of course been initially shown in animal studies, in mice. This is just an example of a study which shows that compared to the pre-immune antibody titers against nicotine, using nicotine in conjunction, for instance, with also another possible carrier to induce an immune response against nicotine, cholera toxin, already induces a certain amount of antibodies. But when you use the technology of these virus-like particles, the immune response is much stronger. So please note this is a log scale, so we talk about an increase of maybe a factor of 20 or 50. Preclinical studies have been done also in mice, and the model was actually to immunize mice with a vaccine and then to inject them radiolabeled nicotine and to see whether what is expected, whether the nicotine is actually kept in the circulation and not entering the brain or entering the brain to a much lesser degree. And this is shown here, depending on the amount or on the dose of vaccine these mice are pre-treated with, you can see that the higher the dose of vaccine or the higher the antibody titers in these animals, the more nicotine is actually sequestered in the peripheral blood and the less of the nicotine is actually entering the brain. So here with the highest dose of the nicotine, we have reduced the amount of nicotine reaching the brain by about 70%. Okay, the next step was of course to go into first clinical trials. We have started this development project with a phase 1 study in healthy non-smoking subjects. And what we have done was a study with increasing doses where the vaccine was administered as 2 injections at an interval of 4 weeks. So we have dosed them on day 0 and on day 28. And the doses we used were 50 micrograms and 100 micrograms without alum and 100 micrograms combined with a conventional adjuvant, which is alumin hydroxide. So here you see the antibody titers which were induced in these subjects. After the first dose of the vaccine, antibody titers reach a first maximum here 2 weeks after the injection. Then they start to decline, and when we come with the second dose, antibody titers again increase to a higher level. You will see later on, if you would now continue to vaccinate these people, antibody titers would steadily increase over time. What we see here is also that adding alum to the vaccine is actually increasing the antibody titers by about a factor of 2. So after this phase 1, which has shown that the vaccine was safe and well tolerated, that it has the potency to induce a specific immune response in 100% of the participants, that these titers can be maintained and that they are available in an amount which allows to forecast a good range for efficacy, we have started a phase 2 study which has the following design. We had a group of 229 smokers which were treated with the active vaccine, which means they received 5 injections at monthly intervals of the vaccine of 100 micrograms together with alum, and we had 112 smokers which received a respective placebo, which was just PBS plus alum. We have set a target quit date after 4 weeks, because first, after the first 1 or 2 injections of the vaccine, you must give the system first some time to build up the nicotine titers. That's why we have actually set the target quit date here after 2 weeks, that have still allowed a kind of grace period until we started to measure continuous abstinence here at week 8. From the target quit date up to month 4, these participants also received frequent counseling and continuous abstinence was measured by self-reported smoking behavior and by measuring carbon monoxide in the exhaled air. And only people who were continuously abstinent at each visit throughout these altogether 4 months period were counted as continuously abstinent here at month 6. We have also assessed point prevalence of smoking, did a lot of safety assessments and measured antibody titers. Patients came back after 6, 9 and 12 months for follow-up visits, and these data are also available now. The study was conducted at three centers here in Switzerland, two bigger hospitals, one in Lausanne, where Dracone was actually the principal investigator, then the hospital in St. Gallen, where we received a lot of help and support from Thomas Cherny, who is the chairman of the Swiss Cancer League, and we had then later on a third center in Zurich with Dr. Klingler, who is a pneumologist also heavily involved in smoking cessation. These are the main inclusion criteria of that study. Smokers have to smoke at least 10 cigarettes for more than 3 years. They have to have a Fagerström score of 5 or more, and they should otherwise be pretty healthy, because this was actually the first time this vaccine ever was tested in smokers. So this was really a first in human study, at least in smokers. We have already briefly mentioned the endpoints of the study. So the main endpoint was actually continuous abstinence between weeks 8 and 24. Point prevalence of smoking at monthly intervals, and the number of cigarettes consumed per day. These are the personal characteristics of these of the patients according to the two treatment groups, and you can see there was no difference between patients on placebo and on active treatment. They were all pretty dependent. They had a Fagerström score, median Fagerström score of 7. They had a median of 25 years during which they had smoked before, and they had a median of 3 previous attempts to stop smoking. This was one outcome when we looked at the ICT population, the whole population of 340 patients, just looking at differences between active treatment and placebo. We have seen here at month 2 a statistically significant difference in point prevalence from, of abstinence, but we have in the ICT analysis not found a statistically significant difference between active treatment and placebo for continuous abstinence. These are the antibody titers as they build up over time. You can see that with each injection they get higher, and here 4 weeks after the fifth injection there starts a small decline. The decline of antibody titers has a half-life of 3 months after the last injection. There is quite a wide spread of antibody titers. So the question was, is that small difference we have found in continuous abstinence of about 5% between active and placebo-treated patients, was this somehow dependent on the amount of antibodies generated by these patients? So what we have done was an exploratory sub-analysis of this study population, and what remained were 80 patients who were treated with placebo and 53 patients with low, 53 with medium, and 53 with high antibody titers. The whole study population was actually reduced by those who have not the required antibody data to make this sub-analysis, and we have also excluded from this analysis 45 subjects who had used nicotine replacement therapy in addition. So what you will see now in the next few slides is a sub-analysis on these 239 patients. This is now point prevalence for these subgroups, and as you can see now, for those patients who had, for this third of patients who had the highest antibody titers, there is now a continuous decrease of smoking prevalence in the prevalence of abstinence. And this was statistically significant from month 2 up to month 6. Also for continuous abstinence, we have seen a clear differentiation now for those subjects who had high antibody titers. This is here the result at month 6. So this means that at month 6, 57% of subjects who had high antibody titers were continuously abstinent between week 8 and week 24. So it was quite a big improvement in abstinence rate if they achieved high enough antibody titers. Those with medium or low antibody titers, they did not really differ from placebo. Then during the follow-up phase, this difference was basically maintained and was still statistically significant at 12 months after start of the intervention. This is the number of cigarettes smoked. Of course, those with high antibody titers, where we have more people who actually achieved abstinence, the number of cigarettes is low, that's clear. But interesting also in those who continued to smoke, so those who did not achieve abstinence, the number of cigarettes smoked was reduced. This at least shows that in people who are vaccinated and who have antibodies in their system against nicotine and who cannot stop smoking, they do at least not try to overcompensate the amount of nicotine which is blocked by the antibodies. On the contrary, they are able to reduce. Tolerability was except for the occurrence of flu-like symptoms and in some patients also increased body temperature was good. And this, these flu-like symptoms, they were self-limited. They usually occurred something like 6 to 8 hours after injection and were disappearing on the next day. Or if needed, they responded very well to administration of paracetamol. So from this phase 2 study, we concluded that overall the vaccine is safe and well tolerated. That to achieve abstinence, you need to have high antibody titers. These antibody titers induced by the vaccine are long-lasting, so this may help to protect people from relapse on a long-term basis, and the demonstrated relationship between high antibody titer and clinical outcome gives a clear rationale for further development of the vaccine. And this we have actually done by doing additional studies where we studied different doses and different formulations of the vaccine with an attempt to improve immunogenicity and also to improve tolerability. And we have also done studies where we have investigated different regimens of the vaccine, again with the aim to increase antibody titers. And the next two slides just show you some main outcome of these studies. Here you see that just by increasing the dose of the vaccine to 300 micrograms, we actually get an increase in antibody titers compared to this population we had in that phase 2 trial by a factor of 4. And if we now extrapolate the results from the phase 2 study where we had, by definition, one third of the population here in this high titer group. If we extrapolate this by a factor of 4.2, we can calculate that almost 90% of participants or of people who are immunized would end up in that high titer population. And another quite nice achievement in this improvement process of the vaccine was that we have been able to reduce the amount of people who suffer from flu-like symptoms or fever. Actually, in a study where we also used 5 injections of the vaccine, as we did in the phase 2 study, the number of subjects who had fever was actually reduced to 0, and the amount of or the frequency of flu-like symptoms was also far below 20%. So this is the last slide. In addition to the proof of concept in smoking cessation, 2 key parameters for further development have now been met. One is that the target titers for high efficacy, as defined from the phase 2 proof of concept study, have been achieved or even surpassed in a majority of subjects, and that formulation changes have led to significant improvement of tolerability. I would also like to mention that we are not the only company who is involved in that area of nicotine vaccines. There are at least 2 companies, to my knowledge, which are active in that field. One has presented data during this year. This is the company Navi in the US. They use a slightly different approach with recombinant exoprotein A from Pseudomonas as a carrier protein. And they were able to basically see the same pattern of response as we have seen, namely that the achievement of abstinence is heavily dependent on the amount of antibody titers generated. So I think at the end it all comes to producing high enough antibody titers. Because at the end, antibodies generated by a vaccine A, B or C will always be the same because they are produced by the own organism. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we have just 3 or 4